This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio.
Broadway's my beat, from Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover. In the cold of winter, Broadway is seen through a misty chill. And it's that time again. Make the big wish, Palm Beach and the 15-day tour to sunny Cuba. Make the annual excursion to the Travel Bureau to ask prices. Then step next door again and purchase the steaming Kanish against the blasts of January. And the next door down, and stand under the music shop loudspeaker, and listen to the record of La Cucaracha. Button up your overcoat, walk Broadway. It's touched you, and it can never rub off. And just off Broadway, 11 o'clock in the morning time on West 39th, apartment house, and this languid attitude of hand against the floor, trail of blood upward to girl on bed, shot and dying. And this, the doctor bending over her. And in the living room, this, the protesting man.
Who are you calling a killer, mister? I'm no killer. I'm a mover.
Well, Mr. Barnes...
You want an item of furniture moved, a stick or a house load, you call me and I come with my truck and I move you. You want a killer, girl, you should call somebody else, not me, mister. Listen, why should
Nobody called you a killer, Mr. Barnes. I'd just like to know how you happen to find this girl, that's all.
Well, yesterday comes a call. I got a big ad in the yellow section of the phone book. Picture of my truck and all. Well, yesterday comes a...
Take your time.
I've stumbled on some strange things in my line of work, mister. Like the time I was moving some wine...
Well, just tell me about this morning. You got a call.
Yesterday. All here on the order sheet. Pick up apartment full of furniture, this address. Take it to this address. Here, right here on the paper. It's written down, so how could it not be so? It's written down, so how can it not be so?
I'll just take that paper. Thanks. Go on.
So, look under where it says special instructions, and it will prove to you that the dame who called, Helen Selby, she said her name was, she said in case nobody's home, walk in and start moving.
That's the way it happened. You knocked, nobody answered, you walked in.
Sure. Walked around, cased the joint. The trunks were already packed, and right over there, walked into the bedroom, looked. Looked again, call the police. Look on a paper, will you? It's written down. I can't be lying to you.
The time then for waiting, measured like this. Brief span of morning sun to lie against the face of a wounded girl. Gold drift of January light on throat of dying girl. Till ambulance came, and the young men of the stretcher to lift her, carry her to another place, another room, suitably darkened. And time now for you to leave. Ride then through late January city, uptown and east to where river reflects late morning and shadows of men staring into it. Late morning wishes cast into its waters. And uptown into the 70s, to a delivery address on a moving man's order sheet. 1212 East 78th, brownstone house, January trees in concrete wells against its facade. Lace curtains, stoop, freshly scrubbed.
Yes, what is it?
I'm from the police, Danny Clover. I'd like to talk to you. May I come in?
Well, I don't know. You see, this is...
Can't you tell me about it inside?
Yes, I think I can. I think it'll be all right. Please come in. The living room there. But please be careful of things and...
And what?
What I've been trying to tell you. This isn't really my house. And it's a very nice house. I just live here with a friend. It's his house.
Whose?
Leo's. Leo Pearson.
Oh, I'm sure your friend won't mind, Mr.
Alex. Alex Ewing. And I'm not sure that Leo won't mind. He's very careful about his nice things, and so am I, and we get along real fine together. You see, Leo is a very lonely man.
Oh?
Oh, yes. You see, his wife and child were killed in an automobile accident. My, it's almost a year ago. A year. And Leo was very lonely, and he asked me to come live with him, and, well, I did, and it's worked out just fine. Police? Why have you come here?
A girl, a young woman, was having her things moved into this house this morning.
A young woman?
Helen Selby.
The moving man found her in her bedroom. She'd been shot. She's dying.
Oh.
Yes, Mr. Ewing?
Nothing. Just that it's such a terrible thing. To be wounded, to die. A young girl. Such a terrible thing.
Yes. Helen Selby, you know her?
No. I've never heard of the young woman until now.
And your friend, Mr. Ewing?
Oh, I'm sorry. I wandered for an instant. The young woman, perhaps Leo knows her, but he hasn't said anything to me about it. She was going to move in here?
Yes. Where's Leo?
Well, I don't know. He went out early this morning. Didn't say where. He said to take care of things, Alex, and I scrubbed the stoop and did other little things around, and I've made lunch, and Kate... Shall I tell him you want to talk to him when he comes home?
Yes.
I'll do that. I'll tell him first thing. Well, let me show you to the door, Mr. Clover.
Danny?
Come on in, Muggerman.
I got a few things here. Items on the girl. Here. The name's Helen Selby, all right? Went through her packed stuff, found this driver's license from California, thumbprint on it, check sure the girl's okay.
What else?
23 years old. Let's see. Yeah.
Yeah, what?
Oh, take it easy for a minute, will you? I'm trying to figure out my own notes. Here, she's employed as a secretary at the Sun Up to Sundown Trucking Company. Sun Up to Sundown. Great, huh?
Where's it located?
Downtown, Danny. Perry Street. I got the address here somewhere.
Do me a favor, Muggan.
Sure.
Give me the address. Thanks. Thanks a lot. And the Sun Up to Sundown Trucking Company is easily found. It stands out from the rest of Perry Street because the grime of its brick facades is emblazoned with yellow painted suns. Sun ascending, sun descending. And the entire miracle powered by great steak trucks. And the demigod at the reins of the cab wearing the billboard grin and a winged helmet. And inside, the golden girl, marked receptionist. Sunflower behind beat-up desk who slides out from behind it, the better for you to receive the impact of her slim stalks. Also happens to handle office personnel. Can tell you all about Helen Selby. Hired in December for the winter rush. Clerk typist, $57.50 per. Here a week and a half when glommed onto a driver, Chris Miller. Other personnel, it has taken as long as 5 weeks to glom onto Chris Boy. And if you're fast on your stems, boy chick, you might catch Chris by the loading platform, truck number 367. Right through there. And if it's no burden, mention to Chris, reception was inquiring after his health. And slim finger on a buzzer, and a door is released. A corridor, then loading platform. And truck 367, and the man standing beside it. You Chris Miller?
Some other time. I felt I got a schedule eating on me.
Police, Chris. Look.
You'll explain up front after how you file the schedule up, huh?
I was told you know Helen Selby.
You got all sizes blabbermouth here on you.
You know her?
You want to know her, too? I'll give you a knockdown. State your qualifications.
Your girlfriend's been shot. She's dying.
Someone opens their mouth and spills out my name and Helen's, and right away you figure I did that to her. To Helen. With gun and pistol.
Did you?
I don't know her long enough to get that excited about her. That kind of emotion in me she hasn't had a chance to stir up yet.
You'll tell me about it, Chris. About the emotions between you and Helen, I mean.
Helen? Dying?
Yeah.
Where?
Police emergency hospital.
Well, I get a chance from the schedule. I'll check her there. Right now, I got no way to make it work out.
Here or downtown, Chris?
From New Year's, she came out here for something. The platform. Happened to let a remark dropped. There was a whole new year ahead of her with nothing in it but her so far. I happened to remark how come tan on her face, on her arms. She said from California. I heard from California could be a blast, so I invite her. That was New Year's. After that, a few bars and a few movies, a couple of dances, records in her apartment, that's all. Helen and me and Helen, our romance. Look.
Yeah, I know. Schedule.
Danny. Don't apologize for being late, Danny.
I got here as soon as I got your message, Dr. Sinsky. Too late, huh?
Helen Selby died 15 minutes ago. It wouldn't have mattered what time you got here. She never regained consciousness.
Well,
that's as good comment as any. Me, a doctor with 30 years in hospitals like this, I never thought of a better comment. Well, sums it up. Danny.
Uh-huh.
A man came into her room a few minutes ago. He said his name was Leo Pearson. Said he was a relative. I let him stay.
Leo Pearson?
That's right.
I've been at his house. I've been looking for him. Thanks, Doctor. Mr. Pearson? Mr. Pearson?
She's dead.
I want to...
So soon I found her, I lost her. My niece. Dear Helen, I'm sorry, my dear. So sorry.
You are listening to Broadway's My Beat, written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin, and starring Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover. Truly a leader in its field, your Sunday Night Playhouse has, for years, made a specialty of historical dramas and literary adaptations. Every week, Lionel Barrymore is your narrator and host. Tomorrow night, again, on most of these same stations, enjoy your Sunday Night Playhouse, presented by CBS Radio. Morning sunlight strays through January wind, and Broadway robs minutes from the time clock to stop running, to stand still for the splatter of warmth, crowd clusters in sun pools, and for the latecomers, room only on the fringes of warmth, the chill place, the shadow place, where a vendor stood last night and hawked his night merchandise, and sold out before you got there. Late for that, too. So move on. Smile the secret smile. Nibble on the bone. At office, on worksheet, there will be a demerit for the sunbathers. And for you, a pat on the cold cheek for promptness. In my office at headquarters, a man who last night had stood at the side of a dead girl, a murdered girl, who had not wept, who had sung some tuneless thing, a man of regret.
She had loveliness, a gentleness also, Helen Selby.
Mr. Pearson.
She offered this to my house and to me, and there could have been happiness in it. I so arranged it.
You mean about her moving in with you?
Mr. Clover.
Yeah?
You were in my house.
That's right.
Then you saw how I live.
It's a nice house. Your friend.
My friend Alex. He told me of you. You know of Alex?
Well, that he's your friend, that he lives with you. That he said he knew nothing about Helen Selby.
Alex, to me, was once a partner in coin collector business many years ago. Alex was a man without poise, without serenity, and because he was so, he sold to me his share of the business and squandered the money, became a man of pity. I arranged for him a place and a home for the old and the helpless. Home for the men of pity.
Then you took him out of there and brought him to your house.
You know of my wife, my son, you know of this?
Well, Alex told me they were...
killed, struck down in an accident, taken from me, and I was alone. And one day I thought, Alex, of course, Alex, and I brought him to my house.
About Helen Selby, tell me about her.
Of Helen?
How you met her, how you got to know a young woman well enough to ask her to come live in your house.
Helen is kin of my wife's blood, and I am an old gentleman.
What was she to your wife?
Niece to my wife. Child of my wife's sister, who was in California many years.
Then you knew her before she came to New York?
No. No, I did not know of Helen. Her mother, my wife's sister, is dead now many years. The child, we had known nothing until Helen came to me, to my house.
When?
Maybe a month. Helen came, said to me, she is of my wife's sister. Show me old letters, such as between sisters. Show me an album of pictures when she is baby. And the thing came quickly in my thoughts.
What thing, Mr. Pearson? Mr. Pearson?
And the laughter of youth and the touch of youth. Helen said to me once, how lonely you must be, old gentleman. How quick are the eyes of youth.
And you asked her to come live with you?
Yes, I asked her. And I say to her, with your husband, too. Stay with me, Helen. This big house for you, for...
Husband?
She'd tell me a boy she loved, a boy wished to marry her. I had a big house, many empty rooms, and nice things for a girl. Now it's again death and only death and rooms of em. He's not gentleman to cry before. He's not.
And after that, after the grief washed over him and broke and carried him with it to some shore of the mind, to the faraway and desolate place of lost images, after that, the small things. Fold the handkerchief neatly and replace it in the breast pocket. Straighten the tie. Flick the lint. Neat man going out of doors where people could see him. And after he leaves, sit with it for a while and think. Helen Selby, dead girl, was going to be married, her uncle said, which didn't jibe with previous information. So call the Sun Up to Sundown Trucking Company, and the solar voice on the other end tells you that Chris Miller is off today and gives you his home address warmly. So get Detective Mugovan, squad car ride, address. And Chris Miller entertains from his bed.
This is going to be a real fine day, I can tell that. Not enough we got a cold radiator, I got to have you.
Get out of the bed, Chris. We want to talk to you.
Show me where it says I can't roll over on my side and tuck the chin on the elbow and converse. Samara, you going to get different answers from me in a bathrobe?
You know about Helen?
Hey, how's Helen?
Dead.
Helen. Look, Sonny, I got a confession to make. It's about the beds in the pokey. There's been some complaint
leave
about...
Leave him alone, Mike.
He crying?
Just leave him alone.
I'm okay. Just give me a second to get into my robe here. Okay.
You shoot Helen, Chris?
No.
We found out Helen was going to get married. To you?
Yeah, to me.
You know a man named Leo Pearson?
He killed Helen?
You know him?
No.
Helen was going to live with him.
Yeah, I know about that.
And then you were going to move in?
Yeah, later, after we got married.
What were you waiting for, Sonny?
I wanted to get married right away, set up housekeeping here. Not for Helen, though. Not good enough. She used to like fancy. She's a good kid, but like fancy, you know. Sure. You know?
Not quite. You tell us.
Well, move in with Uncle and get to, I don't know how she put it, get the feel of the place. Then we get married, and I'd move in, too. Makes sense, doesn't it? I used to tell Helen it made sense. I don't know.
Telephone's ringing, Danny. May I, Danny?
Oh, of course you may, Gino.
Thank you kindly. Lieutenant Clover's office, Sergeant Tartaglia at this end. Yes? Oh, I see. I will do that. And your address, madam? Kill me, madam. I happen never to have heard of your place, so the address, if you please. Uh-huh. Thank you. I will forward your message to the proper party. No trouble at all. And you also, madam. Thank you. Danny.
What, you know?
Bessie Hancock.
Huh?
Miss Bessie Hancock of the Hancock Home for the Aged, 190th and Riverside Drive. She has read in the papers of Mr. Leo Pearson of our current murder case, and she has certain information which may or may not be important, she said. Also,
order the squad cards, you know.
Of course, Danny. Goes without saying.
Right uptown now, along the road that bans Manhattan from the river. Riverside Drive and chill afternoon. 190th Street. Look across the brown water to the Palisades. Make a turn at the sign of the clenched fist and pointing finger. Hancock Home for the Aged. Gentle and loving care. Park the car and walk through the swinging gate, up the path, lined by last year's grass, last rainfall's footprints. The porch, with an old gentleman on one side of the steps, an old lady on the other, rocking. Faster, stationary race between them. The lady who answers the door has a lorgnette pinned to one side of her blouse and a watch pinned to the other.
Yes?
I'm from the police. My name's Clover.
Yes, won't you... Oh, just a moment, please. still angry, Mrs. Cochrane? Oh, don't be. That's Mr. Settlin's way, that's all. He wants to talk to you, don't you, Mr. Settlin? Be nice, Mr. Settlin. Please come in, Mr. Clover. This way.
Thanks.
Oh, you may sit down.
Was something wrong?
Oh, Mrs. Cochrane and Mr. Settlin, I want everybody to be happy, and they're not happy. Not with each other.
Oh.
Mr. Settlin plays pranks with frogs, and now he's taken to answering ads in magazines and signing Mrs. Cochrane's name. Oh, such ads! Oh,
it's about the phone call you made a while ago to the police.
I know. You know, I wonder if I was right.
About what?
About having that music piped into here. I started it last week, and since then my boarders don't use the game room so much. The checkerboards and the dominoes, they just sit and rock and listen and don't seem to be happy at all. I want everybody to be happy.
Was Alex Ewing happy?
Alex Ewing? Then you know why I want to talk to you.
Oh, I made an assumption. I spoke with Leo Pearson. He told me he paid the bills for Alex in a home for the aged. Then you called. And...
Oh, Alex was miserable. He made us all miserable. The things he would do.
Oh?
Get up in the middle of a meal and make speeches. How this was a prison. How he wasn't really old. How he would rather be dead than stay here. If Mr. Pearson wasn't paying me so much money to keep him here...
And after Mr. Pearson's wife and son were killed, he took Alex out of here and into his own home.
Yes, thank goodness. For instance, you see that big stain on the wall?
Hmm?
Mashed potatoes. Alex...
Why exactly did you call me, Mrs. Hancock?
Oh, I don't know whether it's important. Last week, Mr. Pearson came in here and made arrangements for us to take Alex back. Today was supposed to be the day, as a matter of fact. Of course I charged him more money. You can understand that. If my boarders get miserable again, I should be paid for it, surely. And I do want everybody to be happy.
Mr. Clover, good evening, sir. Good evening.
Hello, Mr. Pearson. Mind if I come in? Oh,
please do. I'm pleased to see you.
Thank you.
Would you care for some wine?
Thanks, no. Is Mr. Ewing here? Did I ask a funny question?
No, forgive me. It is only that Alex is in the library poised over a chess problem. Therefore, he is here, and he is not here.
I'd like to talk to him.
We will go to him this way. Alex?
Don't bother me. Go away.
Castle to king 4, queen to bishop 4, and mate.
In another minute.
Perhaps Mr. Clover's in a hurry.
What?
Look up, Alex.
Good evening, Mr. Clover.
Hello, Alex.
And now we will chat.
Leo.
Yes?
We were having a very fine evening. What does Mr. Clover want?
Ask him, Alex.
I'm sure both of you know. It's about the murder of Helen Selby.
More questions, Mr. Clover? I've told you everything. I've told you...
I'm sorry, Mr. Pearson, but you haven't.
I don't understand.
What about Alex here?
I've got nothing to
do with it. Quiet a minute, Alex. Let's hear what Mr. Clover has to say.
Very well, but I have nothing to do with any of it.
What haven't I told you, Mr. Clover, about Alex?
That you were going to send him back to that home for the agent.
Not now, not anymore.
Alex?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that home.
I don't want to talk about it.
It's all right, Alex. You're not going back there.
I understand you weren't happy there, Alex.
It was a prison. Why should I want to talk about it?
I was there. It seemed very nice. Why do you say it was a prison?
I'm 62. I'm not old.
Alex, friend.
I'm not old. Old is when you're ready to sit in a chair and rock. Old is when no one wants you.
Alex.
I'm not going back there.
But Alex, I told you you're not going back there.
Now let's talk about Helen Selby.
A lovely girl. Whoever killed her... What reason could he have?
I think I know Mr. Pearson.
I'm not old. She called me an old man.
You said you didn't know her.
Know her? I talked to her once. A schemer. I could tell that.
When did you talk to her?
She was here once, for you. I sent her away. Schemer.
Something like that, what I was going to say. I think she was going to move in here, she, later her husband.
And take your house over. Already she convinced you to throw me out of here, to send me back.
That's why you killed her, isn't it?
I'm not an old man.
You killed her because it's on account of her you were going back to that place.
Alex?
Here's where I'm happy, Leo.
You killed her?
Yes, yes, yes!
Murderer!
What are you? An old fool! Let a young girl come in here and walk around like this and talk like this. Yes, Uncle. Yes, Uncle. I know how she talked. I know how she walked. I watched.
She was my niece. Welcome here. I wanted her here.
You better go, Alex.
Like this, Leo. Like this. Like this she walks. You fool. You lonely fool. This man's taking me away, and you're going to be alone. Big house, Leo. Lots of rooms. Lots of echo, Leo. Take me away, Mr. Clover.
It's a panic in neon, this Broadway, where pleasure is a packaged commodity and pain, where bargains prevail for numbness and the fleeting smile, sometimes on installments. It's a place that dares you, and one way or another, it'll rock you to sleep. It's Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway. My beat.
Broadway's My Beat stars Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover, with Charles Calford as Tartaglia and Jack Crucian as Mugovan. The program is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with musical score composed and conducted by Alexander Courage. In tonight's story, Herb Butterfield was heard as Alex and Lou Merrill as Leo. Featured in the cast were Gloria Gordon, Hi Everback, and Lamont Johnson. Bill Anders speaking. Sunday night all over America, everything stops with a laughter when it's Jack Benny time on CBS Radio. Join the gang again tomorrow night. Jack, Mary, Dennis, Don, Bob, Rochester, for more of that special kind of comedy that everyone recognizes by its Jack Benny trademark. America now listens to 105 million radio sets and listens most to the CBS Radio Network.
This is Crime Classics. I am Thomas Highland with another true story of crime. Listen. A maiden's laughter. a maid of India with bells on her feet that jingle when she runs. She's having a lovely time. The picnic's been a great success, and now her husband's chasing her through the tall grass. Here he comes. For an older man, he's got a pretty good stride. And before she knew it, he had his wife circling around an almond tree. Caught her. Then the thing that ruined the picnic for everybody. Jealousy lurking nearby with a sledgehammer. Tonight, my report to you on Old Six Toes, how he stopped construction on the BBC and I.
Crime Classics, a series of true crime stories taken from the records and newspapers of every land, from every time. Your host each week, Mr. Thomas Highland, connoisseur of crime, student of violence, teller of murders. Now once again, Mr. Thomas Highland.
In 1880, the Great Sepoy Rebellion was already just a memory, and those who had lived through the 100 days of lance and torch and British Square had settled back with a tight little smile, waiting. Queen Victoria had been proclaimed Empress, and Lord Dundridge was saddling his first pony in the cool gardens outside Bombay. And to the west and south, Konkan Province was welcoming spring. The soft winds up from the Gulf were cooling, and set asway the temple bells. Of other bells, however, those small ones held to the ankles of Boggy with golden wires, she set them asway herself. She seemed to always be running, from this task to that, from this person to that, on this mission or that. And one day, she was noticed and admired and bargained for.
I have seen her and am told you are her father.
As I am.
Has she been spoken for?
Many times. The young men of the village all...
Young men.
They have youth. What have you?
What I gave my youth for.
Wealth. And what would you give for my daughter, Bahi?
2 goats.
2 bullocks and a field to till. My daughter dances lightly to whatever music may be.
If I give you this, then I shall be poor.
If you be poor, then work. My daughter will wait home for you to kiss away the pain of toil. My daughter is slender as the reeds on the river and as pliant. My daughter's voice is as the lute and her hands are wings.
Enough. Enough.
Then it is done.
Done.
Boggy! Boggy! Come! Boggy, bow to your husband. Now, greet him.
I have waited long, my lord. Command me.
Command her, he did. To dip 3 times in scented water, which was the custom, for they were to be wed this night, to bind her hair in the manner prescribed, to spend the appointed hour with her mother, the appointed hour with her father, and thus, anointed with fragrant oils and wisdom, to come to him in the place of marriage. And the vows were taken, and they were wed, and went to the hut of the newly married of the village, and removed their shoes before entering.
Beloved.
Yes.
You have 6 toes.
Since birth.
A good omen, husband.
Bagi, beloved.
Yes.
Draw closer.
Your command. Oh, husband.
First, a thing.
What?
In the village I come from, far to the north, a ritual which guaranteed identity.
I do not understand.
Identity, beloved. In case you forget... who you belong to.
But...
therefore, these I show you, beloved. Ochre, sienna, vermilion. And a needle.
For what reason?
The tattooing of you.
Please, please do not.
I command it. Be still! Yes. You may ask why I, Sonu, formerly of wealth and station, now hold spikes so that they may be driven by you into the ties which hold the rails. You may ask why I, Sonu, formerly of wealth and now but an employee of the Bombay, Bengal, Calcutta, and Indian Railroad. You may wonder these things, and I will tell you. I have traded wealth for greater wealth. The lands which I had and the animals, these I bartered for a bride. And such a bride, a child of 18 summers, who is called Baki. Friend Ondu, muscular youth, wielder of the great hammer while I hold, come home with me, and I will show her to you. Will you come home with me?
Yes. Well,
of course he wants more wine. Fill high his cup. Have I not said it, Dondu, this treasure?
Truly.
Sir.
Yes?
And what do you do on the railroad?
Well,
marvelous things. With his hammer, all day long he drives deep the spikes. More spikes and deeper than anyone else.
Oh.
Pour high my cup again. Weary. Weary and toil.
This is wine will soothe, husband. Drink.
Yeah. Good wife. Good.
Sir.
Yes?
The arms of yours could lift him as if he were a child and place him upon his bed.
Yes.
His bed is here. Sleep well, honored husband, toiler, bringer of bread to this happy house.
Baggy.
I know.
Let us walk to where the night will wash over us.
I want to.
Come then.
Do you love me?
With all the might and passion that is the strength of me.
My husband has 6 toes.
It is written that this is a good omen. A man with 6 toes is said to be blessed.
In this way, he has brought you to me.
Tarry here.
They tarried, and the moon swung over from where it was and became for that brief time their moon, as did all the marvelous things of the night. And Bagi forgot all the vows she made to Sonu and made new vows to Dondu.
Forever, always, always and forever.
And Dondu made promises to her.
Tomorrow night, when the old man is asleep.
Here, forever, always, always and forever.
Which goes to prove, I suppose, that railroading men have a certain fascination all over the world. And Dondu of the BBC and I was certainly one who gave rise to the legend.
Baggy.
Forever.
There is a thing. Listen to what I say.
Yes?
This is wrong.
What is?
You are bride to an old man.
What evil bird hammers at your brain where conscience is so that you say our love is wrong?
Did you not hear it? You are bride to this old man.
Then you want done with our love?
No.
Then what?
If you were widow...
If I were widow...
We would not sneak about as children who do evil tricks.
true.
Think of it, then. If you were a widow.
Dondu?
Yes?
I want to be.
And so you shall. So you shall.
And when they reached the village on the edge of it, where they said goodbye, they were startled for a moment. Suddenly it was morning, and they looked and they saw. The sky was blood red. Listening to Crime Classics and your host, Thomas Highland. 35 years ago this week, a few hundred AEF delegates in Paris founded the American Legion. Today, in 17,200 posts, there are nearly 3 million Legionnaires. Service to the community, state, and nation. Service to veterans and their families. These have grown to be hallmarks of American Legion activity, without which the nation and its people would be great losers. Happy 35th birthday, American Legion. Keep up your great work and continue to grow. Now once again, Thomas Highland and the second act of Crime Classics and his report to you on Old Six Toes, how he stopped construction on the BBC and I. Each country has and is proud of its own history of railroading. It may come as a surprise to some that laying track in India has a lore unparalleled in railroading annals. To give you a hint, there's a saying out of Bombay that never did the tigers eat so good as when the BBC and I put down a steel through South Konkan, the place that concerns us here tonight. Consider the feat, if you will. 116 miles of rail through jungle, swamp, and wasteland. A body died there for every cross tie. 116 miles of rail plunging progress from Taj Pahor to the sea. And, 2/3 of the way, the living legend of a man, Dondu. And at his feet, holding the spikes, an old man with a young wife.
Dondu, tarry a minute. Say the truth to me.
Of what?
Of my wife.
What of her?
Is she not beauteous?
Yes.
I see how you look at her.
Oh?
As young brother to me, happy for my happiness.
Yes. So do.
Yes.
The next spike, sighted well. Get close to it and line it.
Yes.
Bring your head closer to it, old man, and make sure.
Midday and time for meal. Why do you stand with hammer poised over your head?
What?
The whistle has blown. Come, let us eat.
Yes. Let us eat. Tired, old man?
You are young. You would not know a sigh of happiness if you heard it.
Oh?
For I have just breathed one.
Oh.
Look how neatly my bride, my joy, my treasure, has made for me my lunch. Grape leaves and chutney and coconuts, too. And you, Dondu, what...
What I bought in the village, the same thing each day, rice.
Would you like a grape leaf, Dondu?
Well...
I hunger not. Take it.
Well?
I am an old man, and such richness as grape leaves and chutney does not agree with me. In truth, I would prefer rice, but I would not tell my treasure of it, since she pleasures so in cooking for me.
Well, then take my rice.
What is this? What?
That was the young man falling over on his face because the old man's wife had put cobra venom in the chutney so the old man would die, so she and the young man could pursue their love unencumbered. But the young man, having eaten the poison food, became deathly sick. He had eaten a dose that would have killed a less strong man, but he was the mighty Dondu, and he did not die. A month later, he was well enough to tryst, and this he did.
I dared not come to you, Dondu. You know that.
Yes. Lovely one, what do you do?
Kneel to the gods for having preserved you for me.
Add a prayer, then, of your husband.
That he should die.
For my love for you.
For your love for me. Therefore, he must die.
And soon.
I will help.
Together, then.
Yes. Oh, yes.
But the precise opportunity never quite arose. Either there was someone near or within calling distance, or the old man didn't rise to the bait. There was one night when the bride put a crate, a small and deadly snake, into Sonu's bed, on the very night that Sonu elected to sleep in the hammock outside. Something always seemed to go awry.
I cannot stand him. He must die, or I shall.
There is a festival next week for us at the railroad, for the completed section. There he will die.
I cannot stand him. He must die, or I will.
And the days spun away, and a week, until there came a day of festival. And Mr. Graves of the railroad was concerned that everyone enjoy himself.
And what do you do, sir?
I am a spike holder, Si.
Each member of our team is as important as the other.
Yes, Si.
And who is this lovely child by your side?
My wife.
Oh, charming, charming. Rise up, child. Oh, charming, charming, charming. A treasure, sir. God blessed, sir.
Yes, Si.
Enjoy yourself.
Yes, sir.
The BBC and I wants you to have a day you'll remember.
Yes, sir.
Good day, then.
Barky, did you hear him?
I heard.
He noticed me.
Yes.
Perhaps.
Perhaps what?
This is the start of something, of position again, and wealth, as I was once wealthy.
Yes.
And perhaps again our own land and a house and bullocks and servants. Beloved.
What?
In your eyes. Am I old?
Oh, no.
Then look at me.
Yes?
What do you see?
Wisdom. A face which has pushed aside youthful folly to become lined with love and gentleness and knowledge.
But now you...
What of me?
So youthful you are. Do you not sometimes miss the folly of youth?
Not I. But it seems that you do. Then let us be foolish.
How?
I will flee from you and you will chase me.
Yes.
Then catch me. Catch me, Sonu.
You remember the maiden's laughter, the maid of India scampering over the field away from the crowd. Not running too fast so her husband can keep her in sight. And the maiden runs toward her lover who is hiding in the tall grass with a sledgehammer right near that tree where the old man caught his wife.
And now it is done.
Now it is done.
Hold me, hold me. As if...
What?
As if a great burden had been lifted up from me.
Now you are widow.
And I must grieve. Then I will be bride again.
Yes. Now we will take this one to the place where I have dug his grave and put this one in it and cover him with tall grass.
The stride of you as you walk, Dondu, the suppleness, the grace, and you belong to me forever. Always, always and forever.
Here. Well, the old man looks small there on the earth.
I wish to see him no more.
And I will cover him. Maggie.
Yes?
The thing we talked of.
Yes?
Do it now.
Yes.
Child, what has happened?
Dead.
Who are you talking about?
My husband.
What?
Awful.
What happened? Tell me.
There, down there at the river's edge. We were walking there where the bank was moist. He tore the river, and the bank slid away, and he fell into...
He fell into the river?
Yes.
Oh, crocodiles.
Do not say it.
Child. Yes.
I saw it. He slipped into the river and the current was strong and then the crocodiles and the river reddened. And...
Oh, hush, child. Hush.
Now I am widow. Now I am widow.
There was no question about it. Now she was widow, and she observed all the self-denials that ritual called for. For 6 months she went about clad in coarse garments, her skin whitened with ashes, her hair unkempt. And when the allotted time was done, she washed the mourning from her, and got out her best silk sari and the bells again, and went into the village and made it known that she was marriageable again. And it goes without saying that the first young man in line outside her father's hut was a hammer man named Dondu.
And what will you give to me for my daughter?
Peace of mind, that your daughter is happy.
And what will you give to her?
My strength.
If I refuse you, my daughter?
There is no refusal. We have looked upon each other and found each other good.
Bagi, come. Bagi, bow to your husband. Now, greet him.
I have waited long, my lord. Command me.
I'll help you down, Mr. Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Graves.
Yeah. I don't know why the company bothered to send you all the way out here, Mr. Collins, but...
BBC and I has a reason for everything, Mr. Graves. Now, let's look at it. Why you elected to build a spur right here. Why you have all these people building up a roadbed when you could run the road by way of Mudwap.
You stand here, sir, and see for yourself. Below, you see how the river curves?
Yes.
Yes, like an eagle in the shape of an S. Therefore, it would take two bridges to complete.
But the company chart had but one curve.
That's why we have men in the field, sir. Dig in.
Have them dig away.
Sir!
So then you'll give a proper report of me, sir, with Mr. Glenner?
Sir! What's he want, that digger there waving at you?
Well, let's have a look, shall we? Now, tell Mr. Glenner it's all been well thought out and the spur will be completed before the monsoon. Yes, my man, what is it you want?
Look, sir, where I was digging to provide dirt for the roadbed.
Well, I'll be
dreadful.
Skeleton.
Dreadful.
No, look there.
Dreadful.
There's a thing.
Yes. Six toes.
On each foot. Now, there's a thing.
Thank you.
Now, since burning was the manner of disposal of corpses, a skeleton in the ground was something to ponder. A skeleton with six toes now. Somebody remembered that an old man named Sanu had had six toes and a young wife. So the young wife was questioned by the local authority, who happened to be Mr. Graves of the BBC and I.
Child, skull crushed in like that. He did not fall into the river, did he?
I cannot lie.
Yeah, then don't.
He did not fall into the river.
Nah. He was murdered.
He was murdered.
Yeah. By a man of strength, according to the fracture.
By a man of strength.
Your present husband.
Yes.
Yes. You swear to this?
Yes.
You realize that he'll be hanged?
Yes. And what of me? What of me, Sahib?
When your husband is hanged?
Yes.
I dare say you'll be right by his side.
Her present husband was hanged. Then she was. In just a moment, Thomas Highland will tell you about next week's crime classic. Old Six Toes, tonight's crime classic, was adapted from the original court reports and newspaper accounts by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. The music was composed and conducted by Bernard Herrmann, and the program is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Thomas Highland is portrayed on radio by Lou Merrill. In tonight's story, Jane Webb was heard as Boggy, and Herb Butterfield as Sonu. Featured in the cast were Jack Edwards, Van Wright, and Jack Crucian. Bob Lamond speaking. And here again is Thomas Highland. Next week, we will concern ourselves with a band of gay conquistadores who decided to conquer the land of Peru in the year 1540. Because of what happened to them, it's listed in my files as Francisco Pizarro, his heart on a golden knife. Thank you. Good night.
This Sunday night, Herbert Marshall stars as the Honorable Edmund Burke, British statesman and member of Parliament. Burke is the man who spoke so eloquently on behalf of American freedom during the Revolutionary War that his colleagues called him a traitor. Hear his story on CBS Radio Sunday night, when the Radio Hall of Fame, with Lionel Barrymore as your host, turns the spotlight back to this stormy time. The Radio Hall of Fame, on most of these same stations. America listens most to the CBS Radio Network.